We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody? Muted myself by accident there. Welcome into the Backliners podcast. Agron Barracuda, as per usual, and want to let you know, welcome to the Backliners. This week presented by Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app and use code Backliners for a deposit match up to $100. So a big shout out to Prize Picks. Barra, we're going back in time and also simultaneously forward in time. Third, and sometimes most important, we are present in this moment. Something to think about. We've gotten some requests to do... What's up?
No, yeah. Just keep going. You're
so
doing
what?
Great.
I am in a mood today, okay?
Yeah.
I like to set the tone early that you can tell that I'm in a mood instantly for a podcast episode. Uh-oh, I pressed a button on my monitor. There we go. We've gotten a lot of requests to go back and redo an old Backliners episode. Not because it wasn't flawless, of course, but because it's just, we could have some changes. It's our SPL Mount Rushmore. Dude, we used to be so good at this podcast, by the way. I went back and like watched some of it. Yeah, we used to be good, man. First of all,
I've been good.
51 minutes. 51-minute video. We talked about the SPL that week, and we did a Mount Rushmore for each role, and had a random question of the week in 51 minutes.
Were you there?
Yes.
That's
I was there. Now, I started watching the video in order to write down all of our picks so that we could compare. I ran out of time. I was not able to do that. I have, at 8:04 or something like that, put in our community Discord, hey, can someone tell us what our Mount Rushmores were? So we'll see if anyone comes through. Oh, looks like Seafog's going through it. What a goat. So we can maybe compare some of those. Another thing I noticed right away when I watched this video is that my voice, I felt like, is so much deeper in that video. And it's definitely because I was just using it so much more in casting. Like... That drops your like voice so much from overuse. I forgot, like, I feel like my voice has gone back up a little bit since I've stopped casting.
Yeah, I was noticing that. I just don't want to say anything about it.
Well, thank you, man.
You're welcome. I don't want to make you self-conscious about like the man you used to be.
Hey, Barra, in the future, if you notice things like, hey, your voice is starting to become higher again, can you tell me?
Sure, yeah, I'll be. No
problem. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. There was so much more light in our eyes, dude. September 8th, 2020. Holy
no,
cow.
There was.
There
no,
was, there bro. Wasn't. There was. Go watch the link. Watch the link in our Discord. I was floored. I was like, wow, I look so much more. I mean, my hair was going crazy, but, you know, it was impossible to say what was happening there. Like, I was impressed with what we had. That's all I'm saying.
No, that'd be like around season 6. There was no light in my eyes.
You guys had a big week. It literally says, Agro and Barracuda talk Renegades big week, plus their Smite Mount Rushmore for each role.
Wait, Renegades was 2018?
2020 was when this was uploaded.
I thought you said 18.
No, uploaded.
Okay. Yeah, that means we probably won a game.
Big week. single win for the Renegades. Big week.
What a set. Yeah. There's definitely light in my eyes on Renegades. No light in my eyes season 6. I think that was... I want to go back and watch some of those podcast episodes and just see the depression pit that I was in.
See
what I talked about back then, if there was, like, anything positive I was saying.
Yeah, it would be... It would be something, those episodes, mm-hmm. for sure. We should do a podcast episode where we just listen back to old episodes. Thoughts? Is that good
content? We're really recycling right now.
I mean, that's just good stuff. It would be funny if we had, like, a super cut, like, highlight video of people's favorite podcast moments, and then we reacted to those. Like, that is content. Mm. But no one we're not going to be asking anyone to go and make that content. So it won't happen. But
yeah, we can think about it, which is almost as good as putting in effort and making it.
Basically the exact same thing. If you ask me. All right, let's start because we cannot go longer than 5102.
Well, you're trying.
I did not appreciate that tone. Thank you very much. It seems like we were in agreement based on Seafog's first two that there was no differential. Let's start with ADC. Wait, before we get started on that, we should talk about
what it's going to be over 51 minutes.
Well, we got to decide what is our like criteria for being on the Mount Rushmore. You know what I mean? What are the things that you think are important for that?
I'm going influence mixed with professional play, like caliber, I guess.
So influence meaning how much they shaped metas while they were playing?
Smite, just overall smite. Just
overall smite.
Yeah, and kind of like power of name, I guess.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow, Seafog just posted our mid lane one. This is a wild list in mid. What were we on, man? That I cannot wait to get to. That is something. You couldn't have paid me to recite those four thinking that was like what our Rushmore was. That is nuts. What were we thinking? Okay, anyways, let's do ADC. Who ADC, I feel like, is an easier one in general. Are there any locks for you? Like, absolutely no chance you're not including this person on your Mount Rushmore.
There were three. I'm changing my ADC, and three, and then the fourth one I'm mixed on. So top three would be P-Cat, Zap, and Cyclone. And then mm-hmm. fourth is me or Immel. And I've biased to myself. I want to say that it's me over Immel.
Mm-hmm.
Based off of longevity and influence.
Mm-hmm.
But Immel, like, if you're just judging him at his peak, like, if you're only judging the 2 years, right? Like, of Epsilon Energy, I think Immel over me. But if you're judging, like, season one and the rest of time, I think it's me. So, I'm going to go with myself. Well, but I think overall influence, I think I've influenced Smite more than Immel has.
Yeah. I think you're right that P-Cat, Zap, Cyclone are all looks.
I think Yark maybe.
Yark is in. We definitely talked a little bit about some of these role swappers in this previous episode. Cyclone, Baskin, Yark, who wasn't brought up at the time, but certainly is now. All of them are a little bit hit in this discussion because when I think of Yark, I still think of him as a solo laner first.
Same, yeah.
But
for Cyclone, I think of him as ADC now.
I do think of Cyclone as an ADC now, and I do think he's a lock on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cyclone consistently pushed the what ADCs were doing and how they played during his time in that lane. And I think that he has to be on a Mount Rushmore, and ADC is the one that it makes the most sense to put him in, to me.
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, it's been so long since he's played solo, so I feel like it
Yeah, when did he swap? Like, season 4, season 5?
I thought it was earlier. I thought it was, like, season 2 or 3.
No, because he played with Mike on a team when he was playing solo season 2, I want to say. I'm pretty sure he didn't swap until at least season 3, but that was still 7-plus years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going those three for sure. I think it has to be you over ML. I really don't think it's that close for me. I don't think at any point ML was the undisputed best hunter. He was definitely in that tier. He was, you know, during those years, he was one of the best hunters without a doubt. I thought that your peak season 3... like, I felt like you guys had a matchup season 3 where you going into that worlds where you ended up playing, where I felt like you had an advantage.
I was dumpstering him in lane. I do remember that.
You were a man possessed season 3. I still think that's the best I've ever seen you play.
I just needed Fatalis. That's all I needed.
Oh, you just needed a crutch item? So
I did it better than everyone else, man.
Wait, what were the hunters in meta at that Worlds?
Sol Jingwei?
Yeah. I mean, I joke, but it is because of you, in part, that those were meta, because those were your picks. I think ADC is maybe the easiest one across all roles, potentially.
Yeah, and also, I'm not going to lie, I think I'm going to struggle with the rest of these.
Yeah.
Because
Well, this is the role you know the best. Like, it makes sense to me that this is the one you're focused on.
And it's... I was thinking about this a bit today when you talked about, like, what the topic would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a potential for so much recency bias to play in.
Yes.
And for support...
But also, like, nostalgia bias.
True.
Yeah. You know? They're both powerful forces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we both agree on ADC?
We both agree on ADC. Our ADC list is Pandacat, Zap, Bera, and Cyclone Spin in no particular order. Our list last time was Pandacat, Zap, Bera, and Emil. So Emil gets bounced for Cyclone, which I think is definitely the right call. Seafog is complaining in chat. Oh my god, you guys talk so slow. You're welcome. Also, you should meet my dad, one of the slowest talkers on planet Earth, I swear. Support. Our support Mount Rushmore is Raffer, Mike, Aurore, Jeff. I wonder, because Raffer and Jeff have been out of the scene for a long time. So now I feel like it's a little bit more open-ended. Mike and Aurore are obvious locks.
Yes.
Cannot do it, you know, do that in any way.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. I was thinking about this earlier and I was like, the only two that I'm 100% on are Mike and Aurore. Beyond that, I feel like you could throw Genetics' name in there for recency bias and dominance.
But he's only played like 2.5 years.
In
SPL. I think he can't be there just because of that, honestly.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. That was like Ron Yu maybe. Like,
yep. But how much longer has he been playing like SPL level Smite? When did Sanguine join? Season 7, I want to say.
Yeah, and they won season 8.
Yep.
And then, like, he had a peak, and then a valley, and then kind of a peak, and then valley, and then he was kind of coming back with this most recent Leviathan. So it's like, I feel like he's hard to put on this confidently. There's Jeff for nostalgia, but, I mean, Jeff peaked at, like, season 1 and season 3. He had a pretty good season 2 as well. And then, like, after that, it was just kind of, like, falling off.
Yep.
And beyond that, I feel like since I haven't seen a lot of these pro player names in a while, I'm drawing blanks. Like, I feel like I cannot put Raffer on there if I'm not putting Emil on there.
Interesting. I think I'd put Raffer on there before. I think Raffer is on my list.
Well, I just feel like the support or the reason I wouldn't put Immel on there is kind of the same reason I wouldn't put Raffer on there, because
I think
his.
Raffer had a lot more success post Dynasty than ML did.
I would put Genetics on there over Raffer. Like, for how long Raffer played and how long Genetics played, I feel like Genetics also coming in later and playing people that are way better at the game versus Raffer,
Yeah.
then I would put Genetics on there. I mean,
Well, yeah, I mean,
Genetics.
there's no denying Genetics. If this is the four best supports to ever play, Genetics is on there. But I just don't think that's what a Mount Rushmore is to me. It's like the most iconic, you
That's
know,
fair.
like
That's fair.
that's why, again, if it's best four supports to ever play, Genetics is a lock for the list.
Yeah, and then I thought about Neil too, and I'm like, I don't know if I can put Neil on there.
Neil's hard to leave off.
He's hard to put on.
You're not wrong,
Look,
but
I
he
love
also
Neil.
I know. I know.
But like he really only played well at like two worlds. I love Neil, one of the nicest guys ever,
Yep.
but like
A
he
great
played
man.
really well at two worlds.
Yep.
And also Paul played really good at those two worlds.
Yeah. What do you think Neil's
And
highest regular season placing was in his career? Like, it might be fifth, and I'm not kidding. Like,
yeah, what about KDA?
yeah.
Like, bro.
Well, it's a support. Who cares about that? You know what I mean? That's who they're there to die.
Can I have a Mount Rushmore with three faces and it just be like Mike, Aurora, and Genetics?
You can. I think you have to pick a fourth. I think I'm making you pick a fourth.
Like, support is so hard.
It is
There's
hard.
just.
And there are some classic EU names, like Emilzy, I think is like worthy of some amount of consideration.
Can't put him on there for me. I just feel like he hasn't done enough at like a world
I
stage.
agree. He's not going to make mine top four, but I
Because
saw a
you
comment
have
on NA bias, and so I have to have
to.
some EU mentions.
Of course, as NA bias, the league moved to North America for 4 years.
Yeah, and it's the better
Like,
region,
5
so like
years.
it's just the
And it's the
undeniably
better
stronger region,
region.
like undeniably, by the way.
Also,
I
because it moved here.
Trix Tank, of course, talking about classic EU supports. I think Mike Raffer and Aurore are locked for me. I think I can't take Raffer off my list. Just because even when he left that dynasty, he never like I mean he was Raffer who always like inted some games, but Emilito was at one point the worst ADC in the league. Raffer was never the worst support in the league, and that matters to me. I think those three I'm sure on. I am tempted to put Jeff just because I mean look, when we break it down, are the four presidents on Mount Rushmore the four best presidents? They were just kind of there first, you know what I mean? Like, they were there early and they were there often. So there's something to be said for that. I think Rongyu is tempting for me. Okay, my last spot is between Neil, Rongyu, and Jeff. And again, I think Genetics is only not on my consideration list because he came in so late. Like 2 years after or bef after Rongyu, if my mental math is right. Maybe like a year and a half. If I'm considering Rongyu, I probably should consider Genetics, right?
Yeah, you should. I think you're going too far in the other direction not to consider genetics.
Yeah, I think you're right.
'Cause like in a vacuum, I don't think any player has come in and done as much as genetics has in 2 years.
Well, he didn't win a Worlds, and Rongyu did. Well, he did win a Worlds.
Genetics.
I'm trolling. He did win a Worlds.
I was like, he had the most
Guys, it was a
dominating.
long day. It was a long day. All right, Genetics is on my list. I've been convinced.
Was like, did you remember the world's performance that he
Yep.
had?
No, you're right. No, you're right. Okay, my Mount Rushmore is Mike Aurora, Raffer, Jannix. That's my top. That's my four.
Yeah, that's the same for me. I'm putting Raffer on
there. You for Raff?
You convinced me, and I also forgot that he did have good performances after. Someone in the chat talked about that, and
yep.
I completely forgot that he did have, like, post years. I kind of, like fast-forwarded to the Valkyries for him.
Oh, and, yeah, that was a fever dream, huh?
Yeah, and I couldn't remember where he was, but I remember him having, like, a good showing on Obey, I think.
He was good on Obey, he was good on Renegades and SSG.
Yeah, so yeah. Raffer on there for sure.
Yeah, I think Raffer definitely has to be on there. Okay, this is the craziest one that I'm going to make you wait. But trust me when I say you cannot wait to hear what we selected for mid. We were on something.
I saw it.
Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable. Before we get to that, though, I got to let you know about one of our sponsors for today's episode, and that's Prize Picks. So what is Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. That's all you got to do. It's not that hard to watch winnings roll in either, Barra. I think I could do it more than 4 hours a day. I don't know. I don't know how long it takes winnings to roll in. It's probably actually not very long, right?
Yeah, you got plenty of time during the day.
Yeah, I don't have plenty of time during the day. Maybe you've got plenty of time during
the day. I definitely do not have plenty of time.
Crap. Well, then it's good that it's really fast, right? Thanks, exactly. Prize Picks. Look, you can. The March Madness tournament is starting this week. That's going to be a great opportunity to use Prize Picks. And you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Plus, Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. So thank goodness it's that fast, because as Bear and I have previously covered, we don't have a lot of time. We're very busy adult men, and so we need something like Prize Picks. So big shout out to Prize Picks. So download the app today and use code Backliners for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code Backliners for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Big shout out to Prize Picks. Okay. I want to be clear. This was in 2020. September of 2020, even. And things were different back then. Mid lane became a powerhouse role. Absolute powerhouse role. Very quickly towards the end of the back end of the 10 years of SPL. We might have left off the best player to ever play the game. But he wasn't definitively the best player of all time at that time. We're talking about Paul. Dude, can you imagine? Have you seen Dune 2, Barra?
Like the movie?
Yes.
No. I said Doom, like D-O-O-M.
No. Dune 2. It's very good.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, Seafog covering me saying that his career was too short at the time. And at the time, it was. Obviously, the premier. If we had a top four for all of SPL history, Paul would be on there. But he wasn't on our previous list. We had three that were the same. Oh, wait, I forgot about where I was going with that Dune 2. If Dune memes were like a thing whenever Paul was at his peak in like dominating Worlds games, the amount of like meme tweets, because the main character's name is Paul, and he's like a messiah, it like it would go absolutely crazy. That's all I'm gonna say. Like Lisan Al Gaib for sure. Here are our three that matched. Yamin, Pretty Prime, and Venenu were our mid-route Mount Rushmore. Then we deviated from one another. Our first deviation. I had Zeros as my fourth mid laner. You had Heroine as your fourth mid laner. How things have changed.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be very different from our previous Mount Rushmore. Very. I think the only one that's a lock immediately in my mind to stay from our previous list is Yamin. I will not be booting Yamin from our list no matter what. It's not going to be happening. At least from my personal list. And yeah, again, this was in between. This was after SK had won Worlds the first time, before Paul had won a second. Is there anyone else? Is Yamin, in your mind, safe on the list here, Barra?
No.
Wow. How about that?
I don't think he's 100% safe. This one, I think the only for sure lock for me currently is Paul.
Yes, obviously Paul is on the list.
I think the rest are movable.
Interesting.
And I'm willing to be convinced on my other three slots, but currently I think it's just Paul. And I feel like Yamin for me mentally is just so far out of sight.
You're just an anti-boomer. You're like a zoomer right now.
Well, I mean, it is a lot of recency bias, but I just don't remember a lot of Yamin, unfortunately. I remember he was really good, but I don't remember. I feel like he had like 2 years, and then I think it was like fourth Worlds that he couldn't come to, and Homie FA, I think, had to sub in that year.
No, that was season 6, I think.
Season 6?
Oh, no, season 5. It was season 5, for sure. I remember the stage layout for that year, and it was at a DreamHack. It was season 5, 100%.
Mm. What happened season 4 with the Yamin at Worlds then?
They lost in semis to the team that they lost in semis to Rival.
I don't remember that. Maybe I just put Yamin on there.
Pretty sure. I think Yamin is a lock. Yamin, I really thought I'd never see a better player than Yamin, to be honest. Like, at the time, the things that he did seasons 2 and 3 are still, to me, some of the best Smite ever played. I think his job on that team was so, so hard. And he made it look so easy. I really thought that, like, Yamin was my Michael Jordan. Where I was like, no way anyone's going to be better than this guy. And then, like, Paul / LeBron James comes in. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, like... How was I supposed to know that this guy was going to be a thing? You know what I mean? Like, that's really the thing for me. It's definitely some role syndrome that I think Yamin is so good. But for me, he's immovable. I think Paul is, so, you know, unquestioned. The other two spots for me are pretty interesting.
Do you have your list already?
No, I'm kind of thinking it out loud. I think I would put Dardez there. Maybe yeah, I'm getting some recency bias, but you want to talk about a guy who was influential in metas, who warped drafts, and did so over an extended duration. I mean, since season 6, which is when that Renegades team really took off, I feel like Dardez has been right there. And he did. If he didn't win Worlds this year, I wouldn't be able to put him on the list. But because he did, and he did and looked so dominant, one MVP. I think Dardez is on my list. I don't think I can take him off.
Yeah, I'm stuck between like Shinto, Pagan, and Dardez.
Can't be Pagan. Can't be. 2 years in the SPL out of 10. Didn't win a title.
That is fair.
Again, if we're if this were who was the best mechanical or like most talented mid laner, Pagan is certainly in the discussion. I just don't think that his resume is long enough. He just came in too late. I mean, Prime is like appealing for the same reasons that Jeff was, I think, for support.
Yeah, I can't do Prime.
Ven was on our list before, played for a long time, but I feel like really got overshadowed by a lot of these mids that came in later. Shinto, I think, is the most appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I would
hurry.
No. All due respect to my good friend T. Love the guy to death. He is not in that conversation, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could put Big Man in that conversation, but I feel like he was never really a true focal point on his teams. Like, he was all, like, it's like, oh, yeah, that guy's really good. But it wasn't the attention that someone like Shinto really got.
I just feel like BMT is just ridiculously underrated.
I agree.
Like, and I don't think enough people talked about BMT kind of ever throughout his career.
I'd agree with that. And I was definitely guilty of it. It took me a while to really, I feel like, get my head around how good he really was, even when I was casting.
Yeah, I just think... But that also, like, goes against me for, like, influence, because casters didn't talk about him. His influence was always relatively small.
Right.
Because his kind of impact in the community was never really large until probably King's run. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, just watching that guy play and playing against him, he was always one of the hardest backliners for my frontline to dive on, like, any team. He was always safe. I mean, I think it's between Shinto and BMT, and I think I would have to go Shinto just based off of impact and influence and peak.
Yeah,
so I guess it would be.
I agree.
Dardez, Yamin, Paul, and Shinto.
Yep, those are my four as well. Also, apologies, BMT has decided to name change, now goes by Feeks. So apologies for using.
Well, that's great. He's still BMT.
You know, that's we can go with Feeks. You know, that's what he wants. Jungle. This one could get a little contentious, I think. Our previous lists did get a little contentious. Adapting, Cuvo, and Inster were agreed upon by us. I had Cherryo, you had Scream. Two very good choices. I think Adapting is still a lock. I'm not sure anyone else is. You know, Cuvo got a ring after that. I think it's hard to... I think it's hard to take Cuvo off after winning a ring, and I'm not sure that I'm going to, but... I don't know. I think this one is tough because I think jungle is such a unique role in how it plays, and play styles are so different. Like, we didn't have Twig on here. I think Twig is almost certainly a lock in my opinion.
Yeah, I've got my four. This one's pretty easy.
Really? Okay. Give me your four.
Adapting, Kivo, Twig, and Panatom.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I can't be that mad at it. Pammy came in later, but has been one of, if not the best players, not just junglers, but players in the world since then.
Yeah, because I feel like if I'm looking at, like, top five players of all time, I have to throw Pammy on there. And just based on playing against him, his impact in games, like, he will literally just win you games. And he has always just been able to win you games. And yep. It's kind of between Pammy and Scream for me for that last slot, and I think it just has to be Pammy.
Interesting. Andy gets bumped because he hasn't been around in too long, in your opinion, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Andy was, like, such an iconic, like, he was the, I think, the first, like, best player. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He was the first best player in the world. That's like, it's like taking George Washington off Mount Rushmore, isn't it? Like, he was the first president. Andy was the first president of Smite.
I feel like Andy is fighting for the adapting spot.
No, adapting's too locked. Adapting is like the, I mean, they're both iconic, like, you know, more.
Exactly. And then Cubo is locked for, like, his world's win and overall impact in the EU scene. Twig has been to more worlds than anyone else ever.
Yeah, Twig is Pammy, locked. Twig is locked. I won't consider no Twig.
And then Pammy just, like, he has just been crazy for so long. Like, he has just been so good.
Dude, this one is hard. This one is really hard.
Like, if I'm going to put, the reason I can't put Andy on there is, I really do. I think him and Adapting are fighting for the same spot, and I think I have to give it to Adapting.
Yeah, Kennet's a lock. Can't have a list without Kennet.
And then I feel like Cubo and Twig have to be on there. I feel like Cubo was a big enough player in EU for so long that Cubo is probably bigger than Andy, I would say.
I don't think so, man. I really don't. Cubo had a stretch where there were some people saying he was the best jungler and he was better than Kennet. But I don't think that was really that true. I don't know, man. I don't know. This one's so hard. I'm going to be thinking about this, like, the rest of the week. Okay, here's my thought process. Adapting and Twig are locked. You can't take them off. Those are already in stone. They've been carved. That's all there is to it. Here are the last people fighting for my final two spots. Cuvo, Andy, Panatom, Scream, Sam, and Cherryo.
Oh, I forgot about Sam.
I think Sam...
Oh, we're screwed.
I think Sam might need to be on there, to be honest. Like, Sam came in, and what Paul was to mid, Sam was to jungle for a little bit, right? Like, he came in and just started crushing people for a long period of time. The difference between Paul and Sam is that Paul maintained that peak, whereas Sam did not. But it was still a long stretch of the SPL where he was truly dominant. Like, I think people forget how dominant those Ghost teams were, like, those years, just because they didn't win Worlds. But those were... That was dominance like we didn't see since Energy, you know, and Epsilon.
Can we have two Mount Rushmores?
I could literally fill eight slots. I really think we could. Yeah. I mean, you could have an NA and an EU version of Mount Rushmore here. Oh, man. Okay, I've got to make a call. My four are Adapting, Captain Twig.
Oh, I thought you were just going to rip off Sam Andy right there.
I'm really thinking about it, man. I'm really thinking about those two. I really am. We haven't even mentioned, like, Garz, who was, like, you know, just because he was so...
No, he can't.
He can't be on the list, but I, you know... I want to put Cherry, man. I want, like... but he didn't win Worlds until he was a coach. I really want to just slam adapting Andy Sam. I really do. And again, it's not the best players. It's the most iconic. Andy has to be on the list. I'm sorry. When I think about iconic players in their role, Andy has to be there. He has to be. Panny just feels like... it just feels so recent. Like, it feels so recent. And genetics made the list for support. So the precedent has been set.
Uh-huh.
And if the precedent has been set, I feel like it is right to put Panny on there.
Like, Panny's world run of just demolishing Cyclone.
Yeah.
And just eating everyone alive for literally years.
Yeah, like, I put genetics and I put Shinto. I think I have to put Panny. But do I?
I agree with you for Pagon. I don't agree with you for Panny, for the recency thing. But I also think Shinto and genetics are different because in those roles we were looking for people to fit. In Jungle, we have enough people that do fit the Mount Rushmore, like, the Mount Rushmore list.
Yeah.
Like, what it qualifies to be. Like, mid support, we were hunting. For Jungle, we have, like, 7 or 8. Like,
yeah,
there are just so many.
And again, if this were the best players of all time in these roles, my list would look different. And maybe at some point we could do that. But when we're talking most iconic, it has to be adapting Twig and Stir. And I gotta put Panny. I do. I think
I feel like there's no wrong answer for this as long as you have adapting and Twig. I think the last two, I think you could fit any of those like 4, 5, 6 people that we're talking about. And
yes, I think the next four out, Sam is the closest, I think. Sam is the one I want to put over Panny, but think I can't. Then I would put Cuvo, then I'd put Cherry. Then I'd put Scream. No, I'd put Scream over Cherry. Damn, that one is hard, man. That one is really tough. Okay, Solo. This one, I when I was like trying to find these before the show and couldn't, we were like, wow, this last spot is really hard, or like this role is really hard. I'm not sure this role is that hard. Benji, Deathwalker, Dimmy, and then you and I disagreed on Baskin for me,
mm-hmm.
and Divios for you. Benji, Deathwalker are hard locks, right? Not moving those, unequivocal. No way you can say otherwise. I feel like Baskin is now hard locked. Are you still on the fence about whether Baskin should be on the solo Mount Rushmore because of the role swapping nature of his career?
Not role swapping, but let's talk about potential solos first.
Okay.
On this list.
So Dimmy, Baskin, Divios are the top three that from our previous years that would be, you know, in that potential discussion. Who else is in your considerations here? Yark?
Yark, Fine Okay.
Yep.
Let's see, who was at Worlds this year? Nika.
Sot. I think Sot's in the conversation.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Harry, Variety.
I don't think I can put Variety on there.
Really? He's tough to leave off in a way, no? He's won a championship. He has been the best in his role.
Yeah,
he also was the best win condition for enemy teams in his role at times. And some would say many times.
I've just played with and against his Agni so many times.
The Agni solo, iconic.
You just knew that fourth scrim was just not going to be good whenever Harry just locks in any mage.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
how do you feel about this Twitch chatter comment that I can't ignore? This is gonna live rent free in my head unless I address it. Twitch chatter says, "How do you put yourself talking to you? I'm assuming, but not Variety. Very similar career parallels. Do you feel like you and Harry had similar career parallels? Because I don't.
I don't think so at all.
Yeah, let's think about their careers, shall we? Bera won the first Worlds, and then played for a long time after that, had some peaks and potentially some valleys afterwards. Harry peaked early, didn't win Worlds, went through the middle, then came back up, won Worlds, literally off the side of the ocean. Like, let's call a spade, shall we? Come on. All respect to Harry's career. Absolutely one of the best solo laners to ever play. Bera was never the instant loss condition that Harry was at times. Like, come on. Come on. Sorry I had to defend you for that, but I felt like I needed to.
I feel like he just means very similar career parallels, but we both played the game for a long time.
You know what? You can't question that. Say what you will, but you have to admit that is true.
We did both play the game for a long time, and I mean, he did carry really hard. I think it was like season 3 on Thanatos.
Yep,
like,
Thanatos Rat.
He had a crazy performance.
Was the best player in that set and lost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Then there's Baskin as well. And I don't know. That has to be Benji Deathwalker. I don't know about Demi anymore. I feel like Baskin is kind of similar with Paul based off of caster notoriety and play on field.
I think Baskin's a hard lock.
Where he just carries really hard. And yep. I think... Yeah, I think...
I'm going to be honest. I've always said that Benji is far and away the best solo. And had a bigger gap on his second place opponent than anyone else in any other role. I really don't know, man. I think it might be some recency bias. Baskin played the game at a different level, I feel like. I really do. Like, when I watched, like, they didn't win Worlds, and I know he had a really bad game that started the reverse sweep against the Dragons at Worlds this year. But, man, he was so much better than every solo laner this year. It was not close. Mm-hmm. Or like the last year. It was so not close. Baskin is like... Yeah, I don't know, man. I think I'm hard-pressed to not say that Baskin is competing with Benji or, you know, like... If I'm starting... If I can have every player at their peak in a SPL fantasy draft... it's hard not to pick Paul first, but it's hard not to feel like we lost if they get Baskin. Like, I really think that highly of him as a player. I think he is absolutely one of the best players to ever play.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I have to put Fine Okay on there.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't hate that.
I feel like I have to go Fine Okay over Sot.
Yep.
And over Variety?
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad call. I think, you know, I was just talking about how I think that people don't remember how much better those Ghost teams were than everyone else, and a lot of it was because of Alec. He was one of... He's been one of the best solos since when he started playing SPL, I want to say Season 5 on CLG? And you know, got his feet under him and all that kind of stuff, and was really one of the best solos in the world the next year. Was he on Ghost the next year? He was, yeah, he was. He was on that Ghost team that lost to SK in the finals, wasn't he? So yeah, I mean, he's been one of the best solos in the world since season 6. That's like half the league. I think I'm with you. Interesting that neither of us have even considered Dimmy, by the way. I did hear a clip of you saying you're trolling if you don't have Dimmy hard locked on here. And again, this was years ago, so it's a different time. But I think Dimmy is pretty far down the list at this point. Just too long. It has been too long.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the best team fighters and also insanely good at losing his lane gracefully and just coming in team fights and just hard carrying.
Yep.
But I think recency and with how strong names are currently that are on this list, I think that he can't be on this list.
Can't be. Which... No way. Can't be.
I feel like no the chance. Deathwalker name just carries more than the Dimmy name does.
Oh, without a doubt. Which, it's not close.
He's just a bigger name, and I think over Dimmy, with it being so far past and Dimmy playing well in teamfights those 2 years, but also like losing lane those 2 years, I think it's hard to put him on this list over the others.
You can. I think you're grieving if you do.
Yeah, and I want to put Neek on here, but also I don't think I can over Fine Okay.
Yeah, I think, again, Nico winning World Season 10 is a big deal and makes it a harder decision. But I think there, if you're talking about peak of, you know, SPL meta setting dominance, Fine Okay is significantly ahead in that department. Yeah, I think interesting also that Scary D hasn't come up at all.
That, I literally just thought of his name.
Yeah, 1-2 Worlds. He is not on the list for me in terms of, you know, he might have beaten Fine Okay in those 2 years. He was down like 1k gold every laning phase. At least like season 7. I can't put him on there. Benji, Deathwalker, Baskin, and I think it has to be Fine Okay. Variety is probably next for me. And then Nika. But yeah, that's I'm in agreement. I think Fine Okay has to be that one right there. It is. It's close. Yeah, this one is tough. This one is tougher than I gave it credit for. It's no jungle, let me tell you that. I'm not going to be thinking about this one, like, later this week. I will still be thinking about the jungle one for sure. Yeah.
Benji, Deathwalker, Baskin, Fine?
Yep. How's that list striking your ear?
I think it's pretty good. I mean... I think Harry is probably like fifth on that list.
Yep.
And then I think Dimmy after, and then probably Sot.
No, Nika. Then... Nika's above.
Oh yeah, Nika.
Yeah, I put Nika probably right behind Harry. And then yeah, some amalgamation of Sot, Dimmy, Scary.
Yeah.
After that, but the final listing. Benji, Deathwalker, Baskin, Fine Okay, is our solo lane. Coaches, I think, are kind of hard to do because coaches are so different in their value to teams.
It's also impossible to, like, weigh their value if you're not on the team.
Exactly.
You can hear, like, this guy is useless or this guy's good, but until you have him, it's like, you just can't really tell.
Yeah. Yep, who knows. But I do agree that they are a valuable part of an SPL team. But I think too hard for us to say on the outside. We did do casters in our previous video on this as well. I think it's fair to update that. I think our list before, I didn't hear yours as I was skipping, but mine was Bart, F dot, Hindu, and myself. I think I would update that a little bit. I would put this was again season 7, so before Finch did finals that year. I would put Finch on that list over Bart now, for sure. I still think Finch had the highest peak of any chair one I casted with. I think Dolson is knocking on Hindu's door there and wouldn't be offended for either of those. I think Finch and F. Dot are locks for me. And I think with as much grace as possible when you're saying a statement like this, I think I'm locked. So I think
you sound like me earlier.
I know. Like, I mean, it is what it is. I think myself and Finch are clean locks. F. Dot was somewhat divisive. Like, some people, you either loved or you hated F. Dot's style. I think he was incredible, and he's absolutely a lock on my list. I'm taking a coin flip on Hindu's longevity versus Dolson's peak. I do think Dolson had a higher peak, but Hindu just was there at the top for so long that I can kind of go with either one, is what I would say.
I think mine is just Finch, Dolson, Aggro, and Hindu.
Yep. I don't think... I'm not angry at you for that list in any way. I think it's a solid list. Okay, before we get to our random question of the week, we did not hit 5102, by the way, as we knew we wouldn't. Gotta let you know that this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Bear and I would both sleep, okay? And that would do great things for us. But we could also do some other things. Bear, we talked about it last time, and if you, you know, these things that are important to you that you think would maybe help you with your mental health space, any new ideas that have come to you since we talked about it?
Besides sleep?
Besides sleep, yeah. Sleep's a cheat code.
Meditating.
Ooh, meditating.
Meditating is really good for me. I don't do it enough, but if I had some extra time during the day, I would love to just, like, lock Hammy away for, like, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just put him in, like, a little, like, space-time vacuum, you know, where I just, like, put him in there, and then I can just pull him out, and he just, like, goes to sleep for, like, an hour, you know, he just has a nice time. I could just meditate and just, you know, have a nice little deep dive inside the old John brain and just kind of see what's ticking up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do meditate.
I think that's good. I think I would just be outside. I think my mood is noticeably better when I spend more time outside. So walk, you know, I love the disc golf and regular golf. Either one of those would be awesome. I would take all of the above, please. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. And I do definitely agree with that. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Bear and I have talked a lot on the show about how important we think therapy is and how good it is for us. I have been pretty busy, so scaled back my appointments a little bit. And so but tomorrow is Therapy Wednesday for the first time in a couple weeks for me. And I have been stoked. I cannot wait to wake up and go to my therapy appointment tomorrow. It's going to be really great. And we are huge advocates for it. So if you've been considering it, please, please, please do yourself a favor. And whether, you know, whatever ways makes the most sense for you, please give it a shot. If BetterHelp is that way, and we think it is going to be for a lot of you, then even better, because we've got a little code to help you. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/backliners to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/backliners. Big shout out to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. All right, time for our random question of the week, brought to you by our Patreon Discord, patreon.com/backliners, the place to go if you want to join there, so that you can do fun things like being asked, hey, can you go through this VOD and tell us what our Mount Rushmores are, because I didn't have time. Such a great thing. Huge shout out to Seafog for doing that. Thank you, Seafog. We appreciate you very much. And Seafog has our random question of the week. It's a simple one. How was your day? How was your day, Barry?
Good. Good overall. Had a little bit of a hectic morning. You know, had to get to work and then leave work to go pick something up and then get back to work. And then, like, we had to do some complicated stuff at work. And then something happened that wasn't so great. I feel like if I give details away, it talks about my job. And I don't want to do that. But something happened and that wasn't great. And then the rest of my day was really good. So, you know, it's just like, you get there, you got some problems here and there, and then you take your lunch break, and then your lunch break, sometimes your lunch break is, like, really good, and sometimes it's like, eh. But today was really good, and then after lunch, I had a smooth sailing day the rest of the day. I had a nice day.
Nice. We like to hear that. My day was also pretty good. I also had a bit of a tough day at work. I was working on porting over... you know, that god. It was like, I said it, but Jarble.
Baba Yaga? Like
the ghost. Nope. Or yes, who knows. And I spent like all day trying to figure out how to make this passive work on my own. And by on my own, I mean asking Pon Pon for help every 10 minutes. And then we get to like 4 o'clock and we go, oh, yep, can't do it. This is a programming task. And so I spent all day barking up a tree that I could not do. So that's a little unlucky. But I feel like I learned a lot. And by a lot, I mean a little. But we take those.
Tomorrow you'll find a new tree.
Tomorrow I'll find a new tree. There's no doubt about that. I have an interesting tree for tomorrow. I'm actually excited to go to work for tomorrow to get to work on that. And then I went grocery shopping, which I haven't had time to do recently. And then I came home and my son was in a very good mood and I didn't get to see him like at all yesterday. I got home after he had gone to bed and I got to play with him a little bit before the podcast and that was very nice. And I've enjoyed that very much. So
what do you say?
He just made a lot of noises. He likes looking at himself in the mirror. So I like do this thing where I like jump in front of the mirror and then jump away from the mirror. Then jump in front of the mirror while I'm holding him, and he thinks that's just like the funniest thing of all time. So that was a real riot. And yeah, it was a good day. So
nice.
Thanks, Seafog. I hope your day was good. I hope that us thrusting, and by us I mean me, thrusting this responsibility upon you, was fun and exciting. And you were like, "Wow, what a great episode this was 3 years ago." Not, and it isn't the crap we get these days. You know, it's like. It's like an old Subway sandwich. They used to be so much better than they are now. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, that's fair. I hope Subway.
I haven't eaten Subway in a while.
I really hope Subway wasn't considering sponsoring this show because we just lost them. Sorry, Subway. Never mind. Subway's not that bad. Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll see you next time. Until then, Barra, you know what to do.
Bye.
Clean, buddy. Clean.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.